new content for Jam City's mobile game, Futurama Worlds of Tomorrow. Executive producer David X. Cohen says the cast had a great time creating both the video game and the 42-minute long podcast episode.
It's weird, you know, several years go by and you don't make an episode of Futurama and you get a little nervous, like, can we still do this? And then everybody just kind of locks into work mode again and it feels like old times. We have the whole original crew back together for this. We have all original writers from the show. We have the original animators and the entire cast of the show.
Fans of the show will find the podcast on sites including Nerdist.com and YouTube. The Futurama Worlds of Tomorrow game is also free and available for mobile devices via the App Store and Google Play.
One Florida community is dealing with toxic water that could be causing death.
People in and around Everglades City are under attack by potentially poisonous stormwater. 10 feet of storm surge left the town on the Florida Peninsula's southwest tip mired in mud, mold, and filthy water. At least a dozen people have been hospitalized with infections, including one man who lost a leg and another whose death might have been caused by infection. Public health officials and paramedics say the water that's still standing in Everglades City can only be described as sewer water, ripe with bacteria.
Four Boston College students who were victims of an acid attack in Marseille, France, are said to be doing okay. The four female students were waiting to board a train to Paris when a 41-year-old female sprayed them with acid. Three of the women are studying abroad in Paris for the semester. One is studying in Copenhagen. In a statement, Boston College officials said the students plan to remain in Europe for the rest of the semester and offered forgiveness to the woman who sprayed them. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
A special NASA mission to Hawaii is over. Here's Bill Zinfer.
The group emerged from a geodesic dome on Hawaii's Mauna Loa volcano after 8 months. The mission was part of a study to prepare for long-duration space explorations like a mission to Mars. The group was quarantined in the dome for 8 months, eating freeze-dried and canned food, only communicating with a research team at the University of Hawaii on a 20-minute delay. The time it would take for a signal to get from Earth to Mars. NASA wants to send a team of astronauts to Mars by 2030.
If you're a big fan of the James Bond movie series, you may want to grab your wallet and head to the internet. A big auction of movie items coming up.
The BBC reports the items include screen props used in Bond movies. Aston's auctioneers in Dudley in Great Britain are handling the Live and Let Buy collection auction. The items include toys, scripts, a harpoon gun, a shirt worn by Pierce Brosnan, and even a chair used on set by Roger Moore. The auction of the 007 and other movie pieces is set for Tuesday, and the seller wishes to remain anonymous.
An on-campus vigil being held tonight to remember a Georgia Tech student who died after being shot Saturday night by police after he refused to drop a knife. Authorities say 21-year-old Scout Schultz was threatening officers with a knife and refusing verbal commands to drop it when one officer opened fire. Schultz later died at Grady Memorial Hospital. His father posted a message on Facebook saying that he didn't have to be shot in the heart, but that's what they did. USA Radio News.
The weather this afternoon is mostly cloudy with a high near 79. East winds around 8 miles an hour. Tonight there's supposed to be a chance of showers after 11 o'clock. And mostly cloudy with a low around 63. North wind 6 to 8 miles per hour. Tuesday, chance of showers. Cloudy with a high near 73. North winds 11 to 15 miles per hour. And the chance of precipitation is 40%. And Tuesday night, a chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a low around 63. North winds 11 to 15 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is still 40%. Wednesday, there's a slight chance of showers. Mostly sunny with a high near 78. North winds 11 to 14 miles per hour. Wednesday night is partly cloudy with a low around 63. Thursday is supposed to be mostly sunny with a high near 79. Means I'll have to cut the grass. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 59. And Friday is supposed to be sunny and all that, if they can predict that far in advance, which I don't believe they can. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Join the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Flemington Community Partnership for their Card Club networking event hosted by Northfield Bank on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Northfield Bank's Flemington office right here on Main Street. For details and to RSVP, visit hunterdon-chamber.org or call 908-782-7115. See you there.
Welcome. This is the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us today, Velta Sushi. Did I say that last name right?
Close enough, right?
Well, what's close?
Sushi.
Sushi?
Sushi.
Oh. You're going to have to come a little closer to the mic.
Velta Sushi.
Okay. And you are a registered dietitian? Okay, that's what CDE means.
Yes, CDE.
I was going to ask you what that meant because I had no clue. I know I probably asked you this before, but how did you get into this line of work? Oh, okay. When you
when you decided on, you know, a dietitian,
mm-hmm.
did you come right to the medical center or did you start elsewhere?
I started at Rutgers, and I started at Rutgers, and then I went to Virginia for 1 year because you had to do an internship to become a registered dietitian. And then I was at St. Peter's, actually. No. Where did I start? North Carolina. I was at, and my first job was in North Carolina, then St. Peter's, right here in New Jersey, and I've been at Hunterdon for like 15 years now. So I'm getting older.
Been on the show a couple times, too. So.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And, you know, it's good because, you know, we're comfortable with each other.
Yes, very comfortable buddies now.
You know. All right. And your role at the medical center, Hunterdon Healthcare, is diabetes and nutrition?
Any nutrition type of concern. You know, it could be a person with cardiac disease. It can be a person with GI and gastrointestinal disease. Diabetes is the most common for our office. But yeah, we go out into community. We come to places like this to do speeches. We go to health fairs. But most of our time is spent doing counseling, one-on-one counseling or teaching classes.
Okay. Now, what this nutritional value to fruits, mm-hmm. vegetables, et cetera, mm-hmm. correct? What value does it have to have fruits and veggies added to a diet?
Very, very important. If we think about it, fruits and veggies was probably one of the primary staples of our diet for hundreds and thousands of years, and just probably in the last 20 to 50 years has it significantly declined just because we have so many options and people don't have time or, you know, they have excuses for why they don't want to cook veggies or pick up an apple. There's a huge amount of vitamins. There's a huge amount of fiber. I mean, I could talk for hours about these things. I love talking about fruits and veggies, and I think most dietitians do. But our problem is that the community's problem is that we're not getting enough. As you know, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing in regards to fruits and veggies. We tend to go for that quick snack, like a pretzel, you know, or go for the pizza that we can order and get delivered. So we've got a lot of concerns going on.
And isn't it, well, I love grapes.
Mm-hmm, good.
Peaches, grapes.
Mm-hmm.
Peaches are just about out of season now.
I know.
Shucks. But grapes, aren't grapes full of sugar?
Well, every fruit has sugar in it. Every one of them is going to contain, you know, some certain natural amount of sugar. And it's probably just the quantity of grapes that we would love to eat that is the concern. If you and I just sat down and had 10 to 15 grapes, there's an equal amount of sugar in that as there is in an apple or a pear or a nectarine, right? So 10 to 15 of them is not the problem. It's when we sit down and we eat half the bag or we love them and we've eaten 30 or 60. That's when you finally have maybe consumed a little more sugar, natural sugar, than you should have.
Well, all fruits have sugar in
mm-hmm.
it, right?
Yeah.
Are there some that have extreme amounts as opposed to just a normal amount?
I would say that some of them have a more concentrated amount, you know, and less fiber. So, for example, grapes is one of our examples of higher, if we eat them in large quantities, a little bit higher sugar, lesser fiber. Versus strawberries, where you can eat like a whole one cup, you know, cup and a half, and still not have the same, you know, quantity of sugar as you would have in grapes, and has a lot more fiber, a lot more vitamins. So
they're out of season now, too.
Yeah, I know. And that's, you know, oh, gosh, I could talk for hours about
all the stuff I like is out of season.
Yeah. So the good news is that a lot of grocery stores are now selling a lot of frozen strawberries.
Right,
grapes
right.
is about the only thing nobody sells frozen.
Right.
But, you know, frozen berries, because raspberries, strawberries, blueberries are definitely, you know, on the top of the list of a little bit less concentrated in sugar, more fiber, more vitamins.
Do you recommend putting, like, blueberries and peaches or raisins on cereal?
I definitely recommend fresh berries or fresh peaches, definitely another good choice on cereal or next to the cereal, even if you don't want to put it in there, just have a piece of fruit or a serving of fruit.
Put it on.
Yeah, for breakfast. Raisins I would be more careful with.
Why?
Raisins are even more concentrated. If you think about it, those grapes now got shrunk down to very tiny amounts, so a cup of grapes might be about, 15, 20 natural grams of sugar. A cup of raisins is 60, I'm trying to do the math in my head, 60 plus grams a cup. Yeah, a cup of raisins. Whoa, no, even more. Anyway, a lot more, 60 to 100 grams of sugar.
But would you put a whole cup of raisins on your...
No, you wouldn't.
No, I mean,
I wouldn't.
But it's and I like raisins. I wouldn't put that much on.
So about 2 tablespoons of raisins is a serving. If you can handle that, just eat 2 tablespoons
of
raisins.
Just shake a little on it.
A small little handful. Yeah. That would be okay. And there's a lot of good fiber, in those raisins, so definitely an option.
And is there any vegetable or fruit that you would not recommend using?
I would probably say the only ones I would not recommend is if you're allergic to it. That's about the only one.
Well, that would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, if you're allergic to it. Some people would say they're like, don't ever eat bananas, right, for example. But no, again, that's just a very healthy, natural food that's a little more concentrated with sugar. So a half a banana is an equivalent to a whole apple. So you just have to eat smaller servings.
Right.
I would recommend a person with kidney disease to be careful with certain fruits and vegetables. They should meet a dietitian, or their kidney specialist doctor should explain to them why and what ones, they have to be careful with. Like potassium, you have to be more careful with potassium if you have severe kidney disease.
Okay.
And therefore, got to be careful with them.
And what do you recommend? What's the recommended serving of each day?
Okay.
Or of each per day?
Right. Well, back in the day, they used to have a slogan, 5 a day, right? 5 a day, which meant fruits and veggies. You put that all together, and you try to have 5 servings, and ideally it'd be 2 to 3 of fruits and servings, and 2 to 3 servings of vegetables. Now we're just saying, if you can't stand fruits and you love your veggies, okay, try to maybe have 5 a day of those, Or if it's opposite, if you love your fruits but hate your veggies, still try to get, an adequate amount, with one or the other. Ideally, it's 2 to 3 servings a day of each, which would be about, a cup each, 2 to 3 cups of each.
And is there some veggies that you would recommend over others?
There definitely is a ranking for vegetables, just like there is for fruits. Most of the greens, like kale and spinach, broccoli rabe, I think even Chinese cabbage, they're very high in the quantity of nutrients compared to calories. For example, you could eat a pound of greens and get almost no calories and no sugar.
Okay.
But get lots and lots of vitamin C and potassium and, a lot of other benefits from it. So greens are first. Then probably things like, cauliflower, red peppers, like the bell peppers, right? Carrots are on the high list of high, nutrient value.
Well, it's 1 out of 3 that I like.
Good. Oh,
I like
you
carrots.
Only like 3. Which
I like the spinach.
Okay.
And I like broccoli.
Okay, good.
And it doesn't have to be cooked. I eat broccoli in the salad, raw.
Good.
But a spinach I like.
Okay.
Carrots.
Good. Anything else?
I don't know.
Brussels
trying to think
sprouts?
Of what. No, none of that stuff. No.
How about tomatoes? Those are good.
I like tomatoes.
Good,
definitely
good.
Like tomatoes.
Fresh tomatoes or, tomatoes. Not tomato sauce on a pizza.
No, I'm talking about fresh tomatoes, from the
awesome.
Farmer.
Yeah. Good for the eyes, good for, fighting infection, like the vitamin C that's in the tomatoes, very good, the lutein.
Now, when someone comes to you, either recommended by doctor or whoever, let's just say for argument's sake, they've been telling me I'm pre-diabetic for about 15 years now.
Okay.
And I take a medication for it, but don't have any problem.
Okay.
Never tested myself or anything, you know, never had to.
Mm-hmm.
They do it at the doctor periodically, and it's fine.
Yeah.
What do you suggest for somebody like who is pre-diabetic or diabetic to eat or not to eat?
Okay. Good question. Yeah. So we usually focus in on behaviors, right? And okay, sit down to your meal. Number one, is it something that is homemade, right? That's what we prefer. Something you went out and got at the grocery store, or maybe even, you know, got it delivered somehow, you know. Is it more fresh from a garden, from a farm, from, you know, a freezer, but still, you know, still originally fresh versus processed, okay? And then we recommend you start by eating half your plate full of veggies. So there's already 50% of your meal should be a green or a, you know, salad or steamed vegetables,
okay.
Stir fry. A quarter of your plate should be a small, small amount of starch, right? Potato, pasta, or rice. And then a quarter of your plate would be the protein, the healthy protein, chicken, fish, even beef, a little bit of beef, you know, in the week. But 50% of your meal should be some sort of vegetables.
Where does corn fit in there?
Oh, a lot of people ask that one. Corn is scientifically a vegetable, okay, yes, but it is a starchy vegetable. So we put that in with a quarter of the plate, you know, that little area of starch. So your corn or your potatoes, which again, you know, was a vegetable, a root vegetable, is in that starch group. It will not be on the freebies, you know, 50% of your plate can't be corn on the cob. Sorry.
Another one I love.
Yeah, yeah.
That is probably my favorite food altogether.
Okay.
It ranks right up there next to the steak I love.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, again, where, thinking positively, corn, it may be not as perfect as spinach and kale, right? But it's still a fresh, real food you got from a farm.
Right.
Okay? It's better than eating a dinner rolls for dinner, right? It's better than eating pasta that's been coming out of a box, you know? So it's still a better choice than a couple other things. It's better than eating macaroni and cheese from a box kind of stuff. So I'm glad you like corn, and it's fresh.
I got to ask you, and don't take offense.
Okay.
How does your family react to all this?
Well, they're...
Have you got them used to doing this?
Yeah. You know what we do? We when they were really little, they didn't know any different, right? And
right.
It was easy because there was no soccer games. There was no studying for math tests.
Right.
They were little. My husband and I, we liked our veggies and our fresh food, so we cooked it. Now, I'm going to be honest, half of my week is full of, you know, quicker meals. But we still always, always, always have a vegetable. So I will maybe once a week be serving chicken nuggets and french fries because we have to get out of the house in 10 minutes, but there is always a vegetable. And guess what? If I have almost forgotten the vegetable, no, I haven't forgotten to make it, but I haven't put on, you know, I forgot to put it on the table because it's still in the microwave or something. They're like, Mom, where's the vegetable? They are so used to having a veggie, they almost feel like they're naked because there's not that vegetable on the table.
Well, that's good.
And so you got to start early in life. Yeah. You really got to
train them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's interesting. How do you suggest someone eat more servings?
Right? Especially if they don't like them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm a very picky eater. I'm very, you know, there's
selective.
Only certain things.
Selective.
Yeah, okay. I'm picky and selective.
Okay.
There's only certain things I like.
Okay.
And, you know, unfortunately, I like fish and chicken and, you know, steak.
Good.
And, you know, but...
But your veggies.
And there's a certain number of veggies
I
do like, but not an exorbitant amount.
Okay. So what we say is, you know, for your situation, which is a pretty good one, because you still love at least three or four of them, you know, you still like your carrots and, you know, a couple other things that you mentioned.
And I can eat them raw or...
Right, your broccoli and stuff.
Right, right.
So... It's not that you have to like every one of them, you know, under the sun. It's just making sure you get some every night, you know. Even if it is broccoli and carrots, just swapping them back and forth every other night, right? Now, if
you put them both in a salad.
Okay. Yeah. And if you're going to say, "Oh, but that gets boring," then you have to make the choice to find a new vegetable to try. You know, I have a lot of people that will come into their counseling sessions and say, I hate vegetables. I say, okay, well, let's talk about that. And I'll ask them, when's the last, I'll ask them, let's say, do you like green beans? Nope, hate them. I said, when's the last time you tried them? Oh, it's been years. I'm like, okay, you're 50-something, and you're telling, you know, then we talk, and it was, they were 20 the last time they ate a green bean. So I say, well, now that you're an adult, you can try to convince yourself to try it again, you know, and go out to a restaurant and order them, or make sure that when you prepare them, you've cooked them up with a little bit of spices, you know, just so that they might be more interesting than a boring, plain green bean.
And, you know, the thing is, well, like green beans, I don't know how to explain this. There's some that you just cut up in sections.
Okay.
Those I can't stand.
Okay.
If you take them and, I don't know, what do you call them, shred them?
Right.
Or whatever, you know, make them. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you run them through a little thing.
Julienne, anyway.
You know what I'm talking about,
exactly.
Right? Those I love.
Okay.
But regular green bean, like, really,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So you focus in on the ones you do like and say, yeah, okay, now let's buy those more often and have them, you know, even if it's not the original green bean that some others like.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Find those things that you do like and just keep.
Well, you have to, otherwise you're never going to eat it.
No, right.
You know, I mean, you're just not. I know me. I won't eat it,
right.
You know.
Right.
I'd go hungry rather than eat it, you know, in some cases,
right.
You know.
Absolutely.
So,
if we skip the veggie at dinner, then if we're hungry, we tend to eat even more, like, you know, to just get that stomach full, we'll eat double the starch and double the chicken or beef, you
right.
know. So the veggies, you know, have a couple of purposes. One is to give you vitamins and try to fight cancer and
right,
keep
sure.
you healthy. Second is to give you fiber and keep your bowels pretty regular.
Right, right.
But another purpose for veggies is volume. Fill that belly up, you know, 50% with vegetables.
Yeah. It's kind of ironic. I have AFib,
okay.
atrial fibrillation.
Mm-hmm.
And when they first discovered it, I never even knew I had it. And the doctor said, do you eat salads? I says, yeah, pretty much every day. He's okay, don't stop. You know, continue eating the salad. And I find that if I go to get my blood thing for AFib, if I haven't had salad that week or the previous, you know, the before, my thing goes way up. If I've had salad, it's in within the range of where it's supposed to be. So that's kind of weird, you know, but it's fact.
Right.
Because I have to go get my blood work done today. So I told my wife, I said, well, yesterday I had a salad. Today I'm going to have a salad. Tomorrow I'll have a salad, and I'll go Wednesday and have my blood done, you know.
Right.
But it's just, I don't know what it does,
yeah.
but it does work that way with me anyway.
Right.
You know,
and it's reinforcing you that eating healthy makes a difference.
Right.
You know, it really helps, you know, the blood work or the body and the heart and everybody,
right.
you know, everybody on the inside is
that way. They don't have
better.
To keep changing my meds, you know, raising them or lowering
right.
them, that sort of thing. I can keep them
right.
the same, you know, so.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, that helps.
Okay.
But it's just, you know, you know, it's.
It's, you know, eating fruits and veggies, for some people it's fun, right? For others, it's a challenge. And trying to make that challenge more interesting by, you know, looking up new recipes, you know, or I have this one person who says, well, I hate cooking and I don't, well, it's not just one person. I have numerous people, but I'm just thinking of one particular person at my office who says, I don't like to cook. I don't want to cook. So I said, okay, it's okay to order the vegetables out then, you know. So go somewhere to a Chinese restaurant and just order the green beans or the broccoli, you know, or go to a local restaurant here, you know, chain restaurant, not to mention any names, and order, you know, chicken and a baked potato and a side of veggies. You know, get the restaurant
right.
to make it for you. Just because you don't like to cook doesn't mean you have to drive through Mickey D's every night.
Right, right. Exactly.
You know, yeah.
But there are all the apples the same?
Most
or
of
pretty
them,
much the same?
Yeah. When it comes to vitamins, it's going to be about the same. When it comes to the amount of, like, natural sugars, they're about the same, you know, maybe 1 or 2 gram difference.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just the sweetness, like the flavors. And even, believe it or not, even if one is tart and one is sweet, the sugars are about the same. You know, it's like, you know, like Macintosh versus, you know, the Honeycrisp. the size might be what differs. The Honeycrisps are huge, so that's why it might have, you know, more natural sugars, because right. you just ate a you know, an apple the size of a bowling ball.
Yeah. Well, I like delicious apples. But
okay, yeah, but you know. I'd say most of them are going to be pretty equal and helpful.
And what's the other one that's greenish? I can't think of the name of it. It's an apple.
Granny Smith.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah, yeah. Granny Smiths are good. Yeah,
I like those, too.
Yeah.
But other than that, you can keep your Macintosh.
Right, know, yeah. Everyone's a little bit
Everybody different. Is. They're, you know, and everybody has different tastes.
Right.
And
that's why I say, you know, don't beat yourself up for not liking all the 20 or 30 vegetables on the list. Be proud that you have at least 4 or 5 that you can,
right.
you know, include in the day.
And don't you think that a lot of how we eat
mm-hmm.
As we're growing up, is because of what happened when we were a child,
yeah.
and how
yeah,
your
absolutely.
Mother
yeah,
cooked.
How, yeah, so it's really important to start young, you know, and even if you're the grandparent of the family, you can still influence as much as possible the younger children. So, for example, let's say you only see your granddaughter once a week, but if you really ham it up that you love your veggies once a week, she might go home and say, oh, Grandpa loves his veggies, so I'm going to try
right.
to like them, even
right.
though Mom or Dad might have not mentioned it much, you
right.
know, but they might try to follow in your footsteps if you ham it up and say that these vegetables are so good, and, you know, it is important to also serve them at the house.
Sure. Yeah, well,
so I
yeah.
guess that's step one, is to buy
right.
them and
right.
have them available.
Right, right. Because I know my mother would make all this different stuff, and it was always like with mashed potatoes and,
mm-hmm.
you know, big, huge portions. And
yeah.
you ate what was on your plate,
that's
and
true.
She put it on your plate, and she was not frugal
yeah.
when it came
yeah.
to that. You know?
Yeah.
So if someone comes to you, all right, they're recommended by their doctor or whatever,
mm-hmm.
whoever, and they're either diabetic, say, what is the process? Like, they come to you and they say, okay, Elder, what do I do? You know?
Yeah.
And so what
so
is
the... So when they first call our office, that's what you're asking, right?
Like right,
the whole process,
right.
right? You know, first we clarify, is it the education that you need, or do you need a diabetes doctor? You know, some people actually have been referred to see the diabetes doctor, and we have to say, no, that's not in our office.
Yeah.
That's the other office down the street. You know, here's the phone number. Because sometimes you need more medical attention. Like, you maybe need a new medicine, you know, a
right.
different, or you need to start on insulin or something. And that's not our office. We do all the teaching about healthy lifestyle, about healthy eating, checking your blood sugar. It is important you check with your insurance to make sure it's covered. Then when they finally get everything squared away with papers and, you know, the paperwork, they come in. And if they're meeting with a nutritionist, the number one thing we do is get a history of what you like and don't like. You know, we kind of ask you, what's your lifestyle
right.
like? We
right.
don't try to just, you know, talk from a book, you know, or give a set meal plan to everybody. We want to meet your needs. So we really, that's probably the biggest thing, is what do you want to get from our session?
Okay. And so now you find out what that person wants.
Mm-hmm.
Then where does it go from there? Do they have meetings they go to, or?
Yeah, so we have, for the nutritionists, we have one-on-one counseling, and they might come in once a month. We have some people that do come in every, 2 weeks.
Right.
With the nurses, they teach classes, and there's like a three-class program. So once a week for 3 weeks. You come in and you learn a lot, especially if it's all new to you, if you're newly diagnosed with diabetes.
Right, right.
And they give you a free meter, you know, one that checks your blood sugars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, again, if for diabetes, that's what we do. For nutrition and gastrointestinal issues, then you just see the dietitian. And we might see you at monthly for a while until your problem has been resolved, as much as we can help.
Right. You know what amazes me? A couple of years ago, we went on vacation down in Chincoteague, Virginia, and
okay.
I got super seriously infected with something. I had a serious infection and wound up in a hospital for 10 days.
Down there?
Yeah, in
oh,
Maryland.
No.
And closest hospital was in Maryland from where we were
oh,
at,
gee.
About an hour away. But Anyway, I was there 10 days.
10 days?
Yeah. Everybody was camping and having fun, and I was in the hospital.
Oh, you poor thing.
And, but they says, oh, you're diabetic. I says, no, I'm not.
Right.
They, oh, yeah, you are. And they wouldn't let me. They put me on a diabetic diet and all that. Couple, I don't know, 6-7 months later, I wound up in the medical center here.
Okay.
Hunter Medical Center. Same thing. You're diabetic. Put you on. No, I'm not.
Okay.
Well, do you test your blood sugar? No, I have never tested my blood sugar. The only time I test my blood sugar is when a doctor does it.
Right.
You know, and that's not often at all.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, why did they do that?
You know what?
Because of the medication I'm taking?
It could be. You should really talk
to
your doctor.
You tell them about what you're on, and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, well, yeah, okay, one of the things I'm on is for, you know, the pre-diabetes, right. And evidently it's working because I'm haven't progressed beyond that. So
it could be, you know, the medicine you're taking, or maybe during a very stressful period, you know, like an infection or something, your blood sugars might be rising a little. So the doctors at the hospital might be basing it on what the lab work is saying at that time. So it's a conversation you want to have with your family doctor and say, hey, doc, you know, tell me what's gone on in my past. You know, where am I right now, you know, and where was I, if he has the results from then. But they will say that based on the lab work that they see medicine-wise, they might even, you know, base it on that. And some doctors do give these medications as a preventative. They do.
Right.
You know, I've met people that have prediabetes, but the doctor will still say, how about taking this med to prevent it or prolong
it? Right.
Diabetes?
I've been taking it for quite a while now, and I haven't progressed, upward, thank God.
And as long as you see your doctor regularly and you and him have a conversation about what is your A1C, that's the 3-month average, and what is your fasting sugar when you go to the lab and see what you and him, you know, agree upon.
Sure. And it's ironic because one of the doctors said, there's no such thing as pre-diabetic.
Okay.
I says, really? Yes, no such thing. That's just something people say. They're not pre-diabetic. You either are or you aren't. Okay, doc. You read about it and you see where there is a thing called pre-diabetes, you know, and why would a doctor say there isn't? You know, I don't understand, but that's not
me. I'm not sure, you know, why he would have said that.
Right.
Maybe, if this is years ago, then
it wasn't that long ago.
No, because now there is truly that, you know, diagnosis.
Right.
And really what it is, it's a warning area. I mean, it is true. Either you have diabetes or you don't. There's a certain, you know, level. But there's this huge area right before
a borderline type thing.
Yeah, where, you know, your blood sugar isn't at, you know, 180 at this time, but it's a little bit on the high point, and maybe we should keep an eye on it. It's a warning zone.
Right. But it's just interesting how some doctors feel there isn't, and others feel, oh, yeah, there is, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Well,
whatever.
In every profession, we have, you know, different
types
of,
absolutely.
You know,
I agree. You know, I don't argue with it.
Different judges, different policemen, different doctors.
Absolutely. All right. Besides diabetic, what other type of illnesses do you work with dietitian?
Mm-hmm. So in regards to, chronic conditions, it would be cardiac disease. Definitely a lot of people who've had heart disease or high cholesterol or high triglycerides.
Okay.
Then we also see quite a lot with, high blood pressure, needing low salt diets or kidney disease, and they need low salt, sometimes low potassium. Let's see, gastrointestinal issues. A lot of people that say, wow, my bowels just aren't right, or I have a new allergy, or I have a new intolerance. So that's pretty common. But we have a nice big percentage also that are for more like this healthy eating, you know, younger adults, teenagers or athletes. So we have a dietitian who specializes in sports nutrition.
Okay.
So she's got high schoolers coming in and saying, I want to run faster. I want to kick the ball stronger. You know, so they need to eat better maybe.
Right.
And then we have, a handful of clients that are young and picky eaters, right, or selective eaters, and they won't eat the foods that mom makes.
Right.
And mom's hoping that maybe with a teacher, you know, or another type of person telling them that, you know, the child's willing to at least try.
Sure, sure.
Not that we're going to force you to eat a whole cup of broccoli if you hate it, but we'd like you to try, you know, some new things.
Right. I just, what you were just saying, I have high cholesterol, I have high blood pressure, I take medication for it. So that could be the reason that he said, you know, it too. And I was just thinking about that. But, you know, my blood pressure is good now and my cholesterol is good and, you know. So.
Right. Well, because you've been trying to work on it for a while, right?
Yeah, I've been working on it for quite a while, but it's down, you know, and it's good and, you know. And I take my blood pressure periodically just to see how it is, you know.
That's good.
And, you know. If you have ideas for getting the recommended servings if you don't like any fruits or veggies?
There's ways you could try to sneak them into your own diet. I mean, right? So, for example, a smoothie, okay? When it comes to fruits, you could throw some fruits into a smoothie, you know, throw a little bit of milk or yogurt or almond milk together with the fruits. With vegetables, I think probably the strongest recommendation would be soup. Trying to get some of your veggies, because people are like, oh, yeah, that's not bad. I don't taste it as much. I taste the beef or I taste the chicken or something like that.
Right.
So vegetables in a soup, think about it. What is a vegetable soup? It's just a wet salad, you know.
Basically
so
all it is,
could.
Right.
And, like, you and your family like to have salad almost every night or you know, often. If you hate your veggies or if you hate chewing on raw veggies, make a soup. Make a huge pot and have a cup of soup, a veggie soup, before dinner every night. You've kind of eaten a wet salad.
That's interesting.
Right. Throwing vegetables into a casserole dish. I'm even okay with somebody covering it in some sort of sauce. You know, you still got the veggie in. It's not the best way. You know, I have this young man who covers everything in barbecue sauce. Right. Well, at least I got him to eat the vegetables.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
It'd be ideal to slowly cut back on the barbecue sauce or to cut back on the gravy, but at least you've got that veggie into your diet. And maybe even adding a little bit of other herbs and spices, you know, and garlic and onion, or even a little bit of cheese. Parmesan cheese is a great one to throw on your veggies and try to cover up some of that taste you might not like as much.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like healthier for you too. Instead of grated cheese, what is it called? You know, like cheddar cheese or something. Parmesan is a good one.
I use Parmesan on my salad.
See? And now you can start trying it on some of your cooked vegetables.
And now I can say, gee, this is good.
Yeah, good.
Something I've been thought I was cheating all these years, and now I'm doing it right.
Yeah, as long as you're not using the whole block of Parmesan or the whole bottle of container of it.
No.
Yeah, it's strong, so you don't need as much.
Right. 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 That's interesting, though. And I understand that, you know, we were talking about some of the veggies or fruits that are more nutritional than others. Which would be more nutritional than some of the others?
Okay. I would say the berries, right? Strawberries, blueberries, blackberries. Then melon. Melon is actually, you can get, a larger quantity for a smaller amount of calories and natural sugars.
You're talking like pineapple, watermelon?
The cantaloupe and honeydew. Those are the two top. And then peaches, nectarines, pomegranate. You know, some of those are really, you know what? For all fruits and veggies, a rule of thumb, the stronger the flavor and the stronger the color, the more nutritious, the more antioxidants it's going to have. Antioxidants are what help try to fight those little cancer cells, you know. So the stronger the flavor, the more the health benefits. So believe it or not, like onions are great antioxidants. I know. It's one vegetable probably out of every vegetable out there that if it's cooked, I'll eat it. But raw onions, no thanks.
I'll take it if it's cooked.
Even if it's cooked.
Yeah, even if it's cooked, it gets put off to the side.
Yeah.
But,
you know, again, so garlic is good, Brussels sprouts, like anything that's, you know, strong with its flavor, it's probably also a stronger antioxidant. Like spinach, you know, is kind of a stronger flavor than iceberg, for example, which is blah. So I would say that the with the veggies, that's what you want to do. Look for good color and strong flavors. But we mentioned that, like, you know, the kale and all those are pretty high.
What about fruits like pineapple?
Pineapple's good. You know, again, any fruit at all is still going to be better than an Oreo cookie or a bowl of ice cream, okay?
I like both.
Right. I could just punch a bean bag or a punching bag every time that I see, I hear, oh, I stay away from carrots because they're too much sugar, or I stay away from bananas because they're too much sugar. And then you find out, well, you're snacking on pretzels and you're snacking on Doritos. This doesn't make any sense that you're still picking some inappropriate choices. So, yes, pineapple is a little more concentrated, but it's a good source of vitamin C. It's, you know, a wonderful fruit, natural fruit that I would still enjoy, you know, in smaller portions, like, a one cup serving or something, right?
What about watermelon?
Watermelon is, believe it or not, a lot of people think it's low sugar. It's still one little chopped up cup of watermelon does have sugar in it. I mean, it just because the word water is in it doesn't mean it's a freebie. I've had people who told me, I eat half the watermelon because it's free. No. It's still, something you want to portion control. But it's pretty good. It's not on the top of the list, but it's definitely a good guy.
Yeah. Well, if you're not eating anything else, it's
exactly.
a start.
Exactly. I'd rather have you, at a 4th of July picnic, I'd rather have you eat, pig out on watermelon than cherry pie.
Right. And that's my next question. You go to, say, a barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you delicately walk around some of the stuff that's served?
Yeah. It's tough. It really is, Larry. It's called willpower. It's called willpower and telling yourself, okay, what here is still in its most whole form, what here was, from a farm, so if the blueberries, if we can guarantee the blueberry pie has very little sugar in it, was fresh blueberries to begin with, and the crust was made by grandma and not from, the frozen boxes, then maybe we can have a little sliver. But it's still best to choose those fruits, those veggies. It's a tough one when you go to a barbecue. But remembering, hey, this is for my own health. This is going to help me, live a long, good life if I choose the vegetable platter instead of the chips and dips.
Yeah. And put tomatoes and onions on it.
Yeah.
On your hamburger,
Exactly. Yeah, try anything you can do. Even if it is, like let's say you like guacamole. Right? Okay, I love it. It's better for me to maybe take a couple of veggies and eat my guacamole that way than the chips. So now I got the fun stuff, but I also got the healthy stuff with it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Even, some of the other dips, we usually want them, but try to use veggies instead of the chips.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I think a lot of people don't even think about this.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so used to eating what they eat and liking what they like and, I don't like that or I don't like this. It's like me, I'm a very picky eater.
Right.
There's only certain things I like.
Right.
And, I'd rather not
eat
them.
We're creatures of habit. Exactly. So we just like to go through the routine, and we're more stressed about the politics or the traffic in our lives. So to make a change, it takes effort. It takes some thought process changes.
Right.
Wait, honey, let's not just make the burgers tonight. Let's actually also grill up, some zucchini. Well, first we have to buy it, right? That's always step one, making sure that we buy it when we go to the grocery store. And then step two is to follow through and make it and eat it.
Yeah, we could eat good zucchini. I like zucchini.
Good. Oh, another one. See, another one.
See? I like that, though.
You've got a longer list. And grilled. Well, the summer's almost ending now, or is over, but grilled vegetables have a whole different type of flavor and experience. When I've met people who said, oh, my gosh, I used to hate zucchini, for example, but now that somebody grilled it for me, I love that.
Yeah, I like it grilled. I also like it breaded, which is not good either.
Okay, yeah. Let's stick with the grilled version first.
But I do like breaded, too, because, once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you got to fall off the wagon once in a while.
You do. And that I do remind all my clients, like on a holiday, right? We've got Thanksgiving coming up, okay? If you've been eating healthy and trying your best most of the month prior to that day, November 20 something. It's always different. Right. So if, that Thursday. If you've been eating healthy for the last 20-something days, then you deserve to have a little fun on Thanksgiving. And the problem is when it's not Thanksgiving and you're still eating pumpkin pie 10 days later or even before Thanksgiving, right? They're selling it everywhere.
Right, right,
you know?
Exactly.
Or you're eating cakes and cookies every night. You know, then we've, that's where the issues are. It's not that one happy meal that we should be enjoying.
See, it's funny because I'm not a big turkey person.
Okay.
I eat, like, you know, a sliver of turkey. I like the stuffing and all the other stuff to go with it, but the turkey you can keep.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not big on pumpkin. I don't eat pumpkin pie. I don't like it.
Okay.
You know, but...
So you do pretty good, probably, you know. Well, except for maybe the stuffing part.
stuffing. Stuff on the stuffing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But apple pie. Yeah, I like apple pie.
Okay.
But, you know, so I'll splurge and have a piece of apple pie. You know?
Right. And the thing is, too, trying to remember that I want this, but I probably, you know, only need, you know, a small slice. I don't need to take the biggest slice. You know, I'm going to treat myself to a small piece. And then, you know, also maybe think if I like more than one thing, I can take slivers of each. You know, we have a contest every year, our family. Everyone brings a pie. And I, as a dietitian, will probably eat at least five. And the funny part is I could say five slices of pie. The thing is, they're the size of my pinky,
right,
you know?
Right.
Because I
want to
taste every one of them.
Right, sure.
And so I'll do it, you know? And that day I also eat any appetizer I want to eat and enjoy the stuffing just like you do. It, you know, I allow myself to have
Then
fun.
I go to the gym.
Yeah.
I do. I try to go 3 times a week anyway.
Good.
But I do go to the gym, especially after that, I'll, you know, definitely go Friday to the gym.
Right. Even that evening, what we do, our family will eat a big dinner, and we won't even eat dessert right away. It's actually a tradition, and the kids say, hey, let's go. We go for
a
big, long walk,
and
then we all eat our coffee and pie.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's, you know.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good,
yeah.
You know. We usually don't, I don't walk because I have both my knees replaced. So, I mean, I don't walk, you know, for any great distance.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just things that you're mentioning for people.
That's little tricks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that you have to starve yourself or eat all the stuff you don't like.
Right.
But the thing is to do it in small portions and...
And that would be a great night or great day. Like if you don't like a lot of vegetables and somebody made the green beans extra special, like they're not just plain, boring green beans, right? Or if they made some sort of broccoli casserole, that's the night you might want to taste a bite of it and say, oh my goodness, this isn't so bad. Maybe I should get the recipe and make it at the house.
Right.
You know, that's probably the opportunity. Or when you go to a party, you know, take just a forkful of something new that's a vegetable, you know, maybe covered in Italian dressing, but it's still something new for you and that you're trying
it. And, you know, we all have our likes and dislikes.
Yeah.
I don't care who we are. Yeah. You know. And, you know, eating healthy is great, and sometimes we just don't do it.
Yeah.
A lot of times we don't do it.
Right.
But if we can get in the habit of starting to do it even little by little, it's better than not doing it,
exactly.
I would assume.
Absolutely. A little bit is as much more than nothing,
right?
And
exactly.
Not having it at all.
If someone wanted to make an appointment with you, how would they do? What should they do?
They can call us or on a website. So our phone number is 908-237-6920. So that's straight to the Center for Nutrition and Diabetes. And then for website-wise, you go to 100inhealthcare.org, and they've got like a whole new website where you press on what you're looking for. If you want a cardiologist, you press on the cardiac button. Well, it's called services. Services is all the rest, you know, the physical therapists and the speech therapists, and nutrition is one of them, you know. So, you know, you go to 100inhealthcare.org, and you find the services button, and you can find our, you know, our homepage. We have our own page.
Okay.
Also, if you go to, like, the cardiac webpage, you can also find a little button for nutrition, right? Because doctors are going to recommend you see a nutritionist. So it's all over the 100 Healthcare's website, you know, for all of it. And then you can even see pictures of us and who we are. And if you need to download the form for our office, it's on there, too. So.
Okay. And what was the phone number again?
908-237-6920.
Well, Velta, I don't know, the time, it just flew by.
I know, we have so much fun together.
Yeah, but it's been very interesting, and
thank you.
Thank you again for coming on.
Thank you.
And, you know, like I said, you do things, even if you want to start, you start small.
Yeah.
You know, instead of jumping into it 100%, just take it nice and easy and do a little bit at a time.
Exactly. And be proud of every little baby step.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I can't thank you enough, Velta, for coming on.
I love it here. I have fun every time.
So,
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you here, and I appreciate your knowledge and what you put forth to the people. And just give the phone number one more time.
Okay. 908-237-6920.
Okay. And thank you so much. And 100 Medical Center show will be on again next week, same time, same station. So listen up and have a good week. And eat healthy.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
While the United Nations on a regular budget has increased by 140% and its staff has more than doubled since 2000, we are not seeing the results in line with this investment.
President Trump at the United Nations General Assembly this morning calling most of the systems in the UN outdated. He says modernization and efficiency